What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are talking about being unequally yoked in friendships. If you are just joining us today, last episode, I did talk about being unequally yoked in dating relationships, primarily because a lot of folks have written in, primarily ladies, asking this question. So I thought I would just take a couple of episodes to tease out what that means in general. And then I would like to focus on both dating, friendship, and then move to marriage relationships as well. So welcome. You might even go back and look at some of the other ones that I've done so far, because you're going to see that this idea of being unequally yoked does come from the scripture. And last episode, 2 Corinthians 6:14, we kind of worked through, which corresponds to an Old Testament principle. So the people of Israel were called to keep themselves pure by not intermarrying, for instance, or that there were analogies given in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10 of a donkey and an ox being yoked together. That's Y-O-K-E-D. It kind of sounds like I say yoked. So I'm trying my best not to draw up egg memories for you guys, but yoked together. And the obvious connotation is there would be difficulty. If you have one larger animal, one smaller animal, one will be pulling harder. It will be difficult for them to have a straight path. And so there's just practical difficulty. So Paul uses that analogy in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:14, to say, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to grab it. Let's go over to a couple of places. Let's go to John 15. I want to talk about friendships at the big picture level. And I know this may just actually whet your appetite when I bring up friendships. Technically, I'm not going to go through the very nature of what goes into godly friendships in this episode, but I just want to talk a little bit about what it means to be unequally yoked in your friendships, where you are spending too much time with an unbeliever. I'm even going to finish today's episode by saying, if you're a parent, thinking through the implications for your kids and them spending too much time with unbelievers. So let me just highlight a couple of things about friendships. This is John 15, Upper Room Discourse, verse 12. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Okay, there is a level of intimacy that Jesus is communicating here. He talks about this idea of the disciples being his friends. And he does correspond obedience to him as a level of being a friend. How do you know that you are in a relationship with Jesus that is close? Well, you do obey him. And he shares information and communicates with you. And he does contrast that to a servant, where a servant doesn't know what their master is doing. So there's a deeper friendship here. Recall with me, when Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray, one of the things that he does in Luke, let me flip over there. And if you're wanting to look with me, go over to Luke. Let's go to chapter 11. Jesus gives the analogy of a friend after teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer. And he says, "Which of you who has a friend," verse 5, "will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." that's kind of like my closest friends. My closest friends are the ones that can just show up at my house whenever and they're like, hey, let me in. And even my closest friends, I'll say, no, leave me alone. I'm watching TV. I'm taking a nap. And they're like, I don't care. Open the door. You know, like that's your closest friend. And Jesus is using that to help communicate what it's like to pray, that when you are persistent in your prayer, you are expectant in your prayer, God answers your prayer. He is a good God and he listens. What's the takeaway there? There's a level of friendship, and that friendship brings with it an expectancy that you're going to actually help me out, even though it's the middle of the night and you're already in bed. You know, I expect you to help me out. Why? Because we're friends. So we're talking about friendship in general. We're saying, who is that person that you share a common interest with, a common worldview, and a level of time together? Those are your friends. Whether you call them sisters, whether you call them buddies, homies, your crew, companions, mates, whatever you're calling them, that's what I'm talking about. So we know that we're talking about more than an acquaintance, someone that I work with, and I don't necessarily choose my time with them. We're talking about more than an employee. Some of you are managers and you have folks that work for you, but that's not necessarily your friend group. An easy way to delineate who are your friends are the ones that you choose to spend time with and they choose to spend time with you. Are colleagues at work friends? I don't know. Do you hang out outside of work? Maybe they're a friend. Or you think of someone at church. You have many people at church that you know by name, you talk to. Would you consider them a friend? Well, I mean, I know you're friendly, but do you guys actually see each other outside of the four walls of your campus and spend time together? If you do, yeah, we're talking more about a friend. So biblically, who is a friend? It's that type of person. It's that person that I'm choosing to spend time with. I share a generally common worldview or should. I'm doing my best to share common interests with them. I'll spend another episode in the future just talking about the nature of biblical friendships, but that's generally what we're talking about. So now to connect the dots to being unequally yoked, that type of relationship where you and I are associating with people and choosing to associate with them is exactly what Paul was bringing up in 1 Corinthians 5. Remember from last episode, I read to you 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, where Paul says, I am now writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Paul says, I'm not talking about leaving the world, verse 9. I'm not talking about becoming Amish. It's really about you recognizing that person says they're a Christian and you're going to do your best not to associate with them. Why? Because of the fact that they're in public sin, they're refusing to repent. So there's a barrier to our friendship there. So when we're talking about an unbeliever, 2 Corinthians 6:14, all the more would we say that you're not allowing yourself, you're not choosing to move into a friendship with this person where you are now going to spend gobs of time, both physically and digitally, on the phone, texting, messaging, FaceTiming, or choosing to spend gobs of time in person. Why not? Well, because first of all, I would say the scripture forbids that. 2 Corinthians 6:14, that you should be guarded against a person who is not a Christian and letting them into the friend realm of your life. You should be very guarded against that. One more step that I think 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Thessalonians 3 talk about, which is a person who is a believer. They are a Christian. We don't doubt their salvation, but they are wayward at this current point. A wayward Christian is also someone who is not a qualified friend. Both of these passages, and Paul is the author both of Thessalonians and here of Corinthians, both of these passages talk about if a person names the name of Christ, you should not enter into friendship with them, but rather you are not to associate with such a person. What does that have to do with anything? Like, doesn't that seem mean? Are we to be Mr. and Mrs. Judgy Judgerton? I can't hang out with you, sinners. Yes. I don't think that's what Paul's communicating. What he does communicate, though, is that if you begin to hang out with that type of person, it actually contributes to your spiritual uncleanness, meaning you will be tainted by the sin that that person is harboring and perpetuating. You will be tainted. You perhaps will use, maybe you don't like this term, but you will be infected by a sinful lifestyle when you let that lifestyle get too close and stay. So you may be thinking something like, okay, well, I don't want to be Mr. or Mrs. Judgy, so that's why I just hang out with everybody. Who am I? I'm not perfect. I need God's grace. And I would say, amen. You're not refusing to associate because you're better than anybody. See it this way, and this is authentically the way I see it. I am not letting that person be close to me because I don't trust myself and I know what I'm capable of. I don't trust my own heart. Before long, I'm going to think like you, talk like you, act like you. This isn't about me being better. If anything, it's me being worse and more susceptible. So why do you distance certain individuals who are unbelievers? Well, in part, the reason why you're not becoming friends with an unbeliever is because of your own tricky heart. Your heart is deceitful and sin is deceitful. So you add those two together and you will be tricked by the deceitfulness of sin. So it's not about us being better. It's about us trying to say, look, my heart is susceptible to being tricked and duped. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy. When he passes it back off to me, we'll pick up with what does this look like? And I want to give you three overarching categories for how this looks. So we'll be right back.
All right. Well, we will be back with Dr. Gifford in just a moment. He's been sharing some pretty heavy wisdom so far on the influence of having unbelieving friends in our lives. And in that regard, I want to highlight a resource in the Transform store that I think speaks perfectly to this topic, a book called Pleasing People by Dr. Lou Priolo. Dr. Priolo breaks down the spiritual roots of that issue. One of his quotes in the book that really sticks out to me, he says, "The people pleaser loves the wrong thing, the approval of man rather than the approval of God. He fears the wrong thing as well. He fears the disapproval of man more than the disapproval of God." That's one that'll slap you upside the face. But it is so true, isn't it? When we're consumed with pleasing other people, we easily lose sight of what truly matters, and that's pleasing God. I highly recommend you pick up Pleasing People by Dr. Lou Priolo, and it's available now in the Transform store at transformed.org. And here's something else I want you to consider. That's becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with our ministry, because we cannot continue to produce resources like Transformed or Wretched Radio or Wretched TV or Road Trip to Truth or Wretched Worldview without our gospel partners. So let me ask you this. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you're not in any type of debt, would you prayerfully consider joining us as a gospel partner? And when you commit to partnering with us on an ongoing monthly basis, it helps us to reach hurting people with the hope of the gospel. You can find all of the details right now at transformed.org. And speaking of reaching hurting people, have you ever considered becoming a biblical counselor yourself? It is such a powerful way to be able to minister to the people that are struggling with issues like addiction and depression and anxiety. And we all know people in our lives who have those issues, maybe even ourselves. And if it's something that's been on your heart, then I want to recommend another resource while you're at transform.org that you might consider picking up. It's called The Heart of Addiction by Mark Shaw. This book is a biblical approach to understanding the issue of addiction. And it goes beyond the secular, which views this as a disease, that actually reveals the spiritual roots that are at play with addiction. Dr. Shaw provides some practical tools for examining the heart and the motives behind addictive behaviors, and he points his readers, of course, to the transforming power of the gospel. The Heart of Addiction by Mark Shaw, available now at transformed.org. All right, well, let's now continue hearing from Dr. Gifford as he continues to dig into what it looks like to be unequally yoked in our friendships. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, Jimmy, thank you, sir. Thanks for the resources. Thanks for the insights. You guys got to check out transform.org. It is actually growing in popularity and rising. I'm always surprised by how the Lord is using it. And so I get emails where people have watched the show, they've listened to this podcast, And so I just praise the Lord for all the ways that he's using this. And you guys feel free to write in and let me know topics and things that I can continue to improve in so I can serve you guys better. So last segment, I said, remember that a friend is someone that we are choosing to share time with. We have common interest and we should have a common worldview. That's our friend group. It's the person that you choose in your own free time to be around. Now, the Bible does say that an unbeliever is not a qualified friend. What does that mean? They could be successful, financially smart. They may be healthy. They may have some fun common interest with you. But there's a barrier to our relationship because you're an unbeliever. Same is true for a believer who is walking in sin. Open sin, that's 1 Corinthians 5, that's 2 Thessalonians 3, that we're doing our best to say, look, it's not because we're better than you. We just have to protect our own susceptibility and hearts. For those who stand, 1 Corinthians 10, 12, take heed lest you fall. That is us. So we're not disassociating because we're better than anybody. That's not true. In fact, for me, I can't speak for you guys, but for me, it's I feel like I'm more vulnerable. I'm susceptible in ways that I just have to be guarded against. So let me give you some things to consider as you're navigating relationships with unbelievers. I want to give you three categories, and then I'll finish with some thoughts for parents. Okay, first category is time together. When we talk about an unbeliever, someone in your life, you're thinking of them right now. Who is that person you really enjoy? They're a lot of fun. They like to play golf. You like to play golf. They like to go to the movies. You like to go to the movies. You know, this isn't something romantic. We're just saying that they're kind of fun to be around. There's a level of it's acceptable to have an acquaintance that you go do one occasional thing with, but you're guarding your time with this person who does not follow Jesus, meaning that my free time is going to be dedicated to my friends and cultivating friendships in that way. So will I go to a movie with my neighbor? Yeah, absolutely. That doesn't bother me at all. But am I going to hang out with my neighbor every weekend? Well, not if they're not a follower of Christ. All the English teachers just died on the inside. Sorry to do that to you. Not if I'm not. But yes, if I am, though. The reality is that if you're an unbeliever, then we are just saying, hey, look, we totally respect you. We want to be gracious to you. But when you invite us out after work, most likely the answer is going to be no, we're good. And we'll go on the occasion, but we're not intentionally trying to cultivate time. We're not intentionally trying to go golfing with you. We're not intentionally going on vacation with you. Easy example for me, when I was in the military, I was stationed in the DMZ, and I was one of maybe two or three American English-speaking folks that even made any profession of faith. And the other two guys were okay in their commitment to Jesus, but they weren't great. They were still going out drinking and partying and doing the Korean military lifestyle. So there was just this great loneliness that I often faced just because there was no guys that were serious about following Christ. And I knew that if I spent too much time with those guys, before long, I would be sucked into the party zone, the drinking zone, kind of the American soldier in Korea mentality, which is usually seen as not being good. So I have to be willing to be lonely if my only option is to hang out with those that are not truly following Christ. There's open sin. There's 1 Corinthians 5 stuff going on. So you have to limit your time. Second, you're limiting communication. First, limiting time. Second, limiting communication. I am very guarded, and I want you to be very guarded about communicating too much with those that are not followers of Jesus. What do I mean by that? I am talking about frequency primarily. Hey, it's great to see you. How are you doing? What'd you do this weekend? Great. Did you see this movie? Yep. Have you eaten at this restaurant? Oh yeah, I love that restaurant. Yes, we're going to be gracious and kind, respectful, use edifying words, but there's also a hindrance to our communication. I think it's very unwise and you're starting to lean into being unequally yoked when you're spending a lot of time communicating with those that are unbelievers in friendships. Calling, texting, direct messaging, DMing, like if those things are marking your communication, you need to pull back the reins just a little bit for the better part of wisdom. Why? Because you are unguardedly engaging in communication with someone that doesn't believe the very basics of reality. Things like Jesus is Lord, the Bible is true, there is life after death, forgiveness is the only remedy for our sins. Like those are foundational commitments to reality. So if you're allowing yourself to openly communicate with someone that rejects those basic tenets, I honestly think you're setting yourself up for failure. Your communication is guarded with those that are not followers of Christ, not because you're suspicious, not because you're better. Those are poor motivations, but because you're saying, look, I want to be gracious to you, but ultimately you need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to place your faith and trust in him. Like, that is something that is foundational. And if that happens, we can move to a friendship that is more intimate. And I mean that strictly in just a God-centered way, like we are closer. But the reality is, if you're not a follower of Christ, like, we're stuck. We're honestly stuck. So time together, communication. Last thing is transparency. And you guys are going to be like, wait, Dr. Gifford, you're making up words. I do make up words on the occasion. That is true. But let me talk about transparency. So imagine that we have discernment, and hopefully that's not too far of a stretch of the imagination. I don't have any. Just imagine I had some. So think of discernment as being willing to say, you know what? I begin to learn who I share personal information with and who I don't share it with. There's a personal instance where, you know, let's just say that my wife and I are in an argument and I'm talking to a stranger on the street and I say, look, she got so mad at me this morning and here's what I told her. And then they're like, oh my goodness, you should not listen to her. Do that. The reality is that I'm starting to lack discretion in who I'm sharing information with. When you and I begin to confide in an unbeliever, what we're doing is we're blurring the lines of being unequally yoked, meaning that I need to be protective of personal information before someone that's not committed to the Bible. They're not committed to Jesus. They don't believe in forgiveness as being necessary for your sins. There's an eternal hell and eternal heaven. Like, I have to be very guarded about just being ultimately or uber transparent with that individual. Why? Because that's what it means to be unequally yoked. If I'm beginning to say, you know, I'm so lonely, I'm so hopeless, I'm so frustrated, and I'm sharing that with someone that doesn't follow Christ, I am blurring the lines of being unequally yoked. So as you're hearing this, maybe you need to back up some of your communication. Maybe there's just a brick or two that needs to go higher in the barrier between you and that unbelieving friend because you're starting to blur the lines. So think of those three categories: time together, communication, and transparency. How open and transparent I am willing to be with you as an unbeliever. So last thought, and this is for parents who have kids that are basically 13 and up, 12 and up, think just like puberty and older. Parents, we are taking crazy pills if we think that our children can be embedded with unbelievers for 8 hours a day and that not begin to get into our children's mind and affect them. You and I are being silly if we think that our children, our ninth grader, 10th grader, can go hang out with unbelievers all day and that not begin to affect the way that they think. We're being silly about that. So is the answer private school? No. Is the answer homeschool? No. Is the answer taking them out of public school? No. But the answer is being very cautious about who you are allowing your children to associate with. And if you need to take them back to the Psalm 1 reasons, this is why we do not engage with the scoffer or the wicked. This is why I'm not allowing you to hang out with that friend group. Not because I hate you, but because I love you and I understand the power of friendships on you. So you're more than welcome to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to those things, but that will be very detrimental to your children. Once your children move out or they are adults living within your home, then some of that starts to change. But when we're talking about that seventh grader to 12th grader, you are hyper-vigilant about the types of friendships that they're engaging in. Why? Because those types of friendships have this insidious and sometimes really, really hurtful effect on your kids. So you and I can both think of moderately good kids, as best as we can use that term, moderately good kids that just kind of got sucked into the wrong crowd and put on a different trajectory for life. So I got to be done for today. But in the end, just think time together, communication, transparency. And when it comes to parenting, we're taking it very seriously who we are allowing our kids to associate with. So I got to pray. Remember, if there's things that are clarifying points or you're just kind of saying, I wonder about this, then please do write in and let me know what your thoughts are. I'm more than interested either in responding to your emails or to answering those here on the show. So let me pray. Lord, there are individuals listening to this that are tinkering with something that's very dangerous. Instead of embracing a loneliness, or even if it's just for a season, they're embedding themselves in unbelieving environments. And I personally think that they are in a time bomb situation, Lord. I pray that you would use this episode to really awaken them, that if they're not careful, they will get sucked into an unbelieving lifestyle, that the church should be their community. They should be finding friends in believers, and that they should be intentional about putting up protective guards for who they associate with. Lord, there are parents out here that are, this is their nightmare. They're listening to this episode saying, yep, Dr. Gifford, I'm seeing it with my child right now. So just give them wisdom on how to best apply these principles. Give them vigilance. And most of all, will you work in the hearts of our children so that not only will they associate with Christians, but actually want to associate with Christians and see that as a joy. So Lord, do this, we pray, and do it for your glory in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.